All right, I want to talk about time travel. I'm looking forward to this all day. I've been looking forward to talking with Ashton Forbes all day in the secret technology. Yes, the White House admitting this week, on the record, by the way, that we possess the technology to manipulate time and space. In other words, time travel, teleportation technology, like the very same technology that was used to make MH370, Malaysian Airlines Flight 370, disappear in thin air on camera. And by the way, the people that are like, oh, that video's been debunked. Shut up. No, it hasn't. In fact, it's been the opposite. It's been bunked. It's not been debunked. And the man who helped really uncover the story from the beginning is Ashton Forbes, one of our favorite guests here on the show. I call him a physicist because he is citizen journalist and one of the most prolific individuals in this space, and just thrilled to have you on the show. Ashton, great to have you. Welcome back to the show, my friend.
Thanks, Clayton. Feelings mutual. It's always fun to talk to you.
Blast. I hope we have fun here. I'm really looking forward to this. So this is the reason I wanted to have you on is because of this bombshell. There's a couple of stories over the past couple of weeks that kind of came out. I want to play this first soundbite from General Quast. Now he worked in Colorado, training individuals, and he saw this technology basically, I think, on the desks of Air Force engineers in the United States Air Force. And it was basically admitting that we have these incredible technologies that allows us to teleport, transport, in ways that you wouldn't blow your mind. So let me just play a few seconds of this. Watch this one.
The technology is on the engineering benches today, but most Americans and most in Congress have not had time to really look deeply at what's going on here. But I've had the benefit of 33 years of studying and becoming friends with these engineers and these scientists. This technology can be built today with technology that is not developmental to deliver any human being from any place on planet Earth to any other place in less than an hour. To deliver Wi-Fi from space where you never need a cell tower to connect. To deliver.
Yeah. And then this just happened over the past 48 hours. Trump White House official of science and technology policy director Michael Kriatsos said that we possess the technology that can manipulate time and space. Watch.
Our passenger planes are slower than they used to be. Our trains crawl compared to those in other parts of the world. Our cars do not fly. Advances have not stopped, but something has gone wrong. Stagnation was a choice. We have weighed down our builders and innovators. The well-intentioned regulatory regime of the 1970s became an ever-tightening ratchet, first hampering America's ability to become a net energy exporter and then making it harder and harder to build. We seem to have lost focus and vision, to have lowered our sights and let systems and structures and bureaucracies muddle us along. But we are capable of so much more. Our technologies permit us to manipulate time and space. They leave distance annihilated, cause things to grow and improve productivity.
So he's basically, and I love what you tweeted the other day. You pointed out basically, he's admitting that we allowed our technology to sort of purposefully stagnate. That we almost like slowed it down on purpose, yet we have the ability to manipulate time and space. So first of all, when you heard his comments, what did you think?
Yeah, and the first thing I thought was, okay, let me see the context. And when you get the context, it's actually even crazier in the context. He's saying that we intentionally made a choice to hamstring our technology. And he's talking specifically about transportation technology. And then he says, we are capable of so much more. And when he says that we have the ability to manipulate time and space, he's talking about gravity manipulation. That's what manipulation of time and space literally is. And then after that, he kind of speaks to other things that also would speak to things like what plasma might do to make things grow, as well as just, you know, other applications for the same technology, potentially as well, like AI. He speaks to making things more productive, which in today's day and age would mean AI. He says something about the 1970s, which I don't think anybody really picked up on. But if you're somebody that has researched gravity research, in the 70s, the Mansfield Amendment was passed. And what this did was made it so that the military could not fund things that were not related to combat, direct military applications. And so gravity research got pushed to the defense contractors. So all of these references, like, there's no way, if you're somebody, people gaslighting about, oh, he's talking about telephones and internet. These people are sitting at the little kids table, right? Well, there's two videos out there in perfect sync that show a plane literally disappearing out of space-time that is still missing 11 years later. So we got to just be real about it, you know, as much as we don't want to believe it, whatever, but, you know, it seems undeniable to me.
Yeah, we're watching this. This is MH370 on the screen here, which, of course, disappears using. So would you say that maybe the same technologies that he's talking about is what allowed the United States government to disappear MH370?
Yeah, definitely. And what we're talking about here is technology that you can find a lot of videos of engineers talking about this. That zero-point energy technology is an echelon above anything that we have conventionally right now. So even nukes are completely obsolete in face of this level of technology. And you'll hear people talking about this all over the place. So you can imagine a lot of scenarios where with this type of technology, you know, the United States government is uncontested in the world. And this explains why nobody has really actually tried to challenge us on the global stage for, you know, almost an entire century at this point. And some people say, well, if these are out there, could other countries have figured it out? Yes, I think there's a shadow arms race. And I think this overlaps with the UFO community where they say that, you know, this might be UFO tech or whatever. And then Russia and China are working on this. This is what scares me the most about this is that, you know, if two warring factions get this level of technology, the science on display here that I want to go in through with you today, it has the capability of producing not just a wormhole, but actually a black hole, like annihilation of the entire planet, maybe even the entire solar system. It's just a matter of scale. And what you realize from these videos and the science related to them is that physics, the universe is scale invariant. Stuff that you can do on the small level, small scale, you can also do on the large scale. Those orbs that you see there, they are mimicking atoms. It looks like an atom. It's a positively charged plasma center with electrons that you can see as green as a shell around it. You can even see the shell of the electrons move fluidly when they start to spin around the plane because the magnetic field they're producing around the plane. It's just wild when you look at it and you can see all of that detail from that. So what I was hoping today is to, and I've seen you talk to Tucker Carlson, some people that are really prominent and connected, and I want to help because you're saying all the right stuff to get all the lingo and arm you with all the tools that you need to help explain to the general masses and to these people who are connected, like what's really going on here from the scientific perspective and from a suppression perspective and national security as well.
Please. So let's get into it. So, I mean, I think what you just said is amazing. The nuclear weapons are obsolete. Nuclear weapons are obsolete, that we have the ability to manipulate time and space. Those are the weapons that's why no one wants to touch us, because we have things that are far more powerful. And I think you would agree that these technologies have come from UFO crash retrieval programs, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Well, I think there's a lot of options. I'm open-minded, you know, and I've now grown to have a viewpoint of anything is possible under the right conditions. So does it come from aliens? Does it come from things that we dug up? Does it come from future humans or another dimension? I don't know if we have enough evidence to say for sure at the moment. I will say I'm pretty confident there's a psychological operation going on to get us to be convinced that humans can't understand this, that it's alien technology. It's alien physics that humans can't possibly understand. And that way, if we're doing black operations, covert operations, which is what the MH370 videos show, we can blame it on aliens. Oh, it was aliens zapped the plane away. No, aliens aren't zapping the plane away. That's us. That's what humans do. So I think that they're trying to get us to avoid that. And it's very important to realize that there is no alien physics. Anything that aliens can understand anywhere in this universe, that's physics that we can understand. We are simply missing something that's probably right in front of us when it comes to how these UFOs we see flying in the sky are moving around. And absolutely anyone out there, UFOs are real. There are things flying around that people do not understand. It doesn't necessarily mean it's aliens, though. Here's right. The secret. After I dug into it as an investigator, the answer to the question of how this is all possible is negative energy. And you go, wait, Ashton. All the academics are saying that negative energy is this non-existent exotic substance. Yeah. Why are they saying that? Because it's not. It's a conceptual misunderstanding. And then, boom, the whole universe opens up to us. Tesla technology is possible.
Yeah, let's break it down for the layperson, and if we want to get this out to the masses. So, like in my conversations with Tucker and others about this, trying to kind of break through maybe the psychological operation that's out there and lay it bare for everybody. Negative energy, what is it and how could it be used in all of these applications?
Exactly. So there's something called the vacuum catastrophe, which is that we look up in the sky and we measure the cosmic microwave background. We're measuring all the heat that we can see in the sky. And we say that that's all the energy that's out there in the universe. And it comes to this relatively small amount of energy. But then quantum mechanics came around. Wheeler and Feynman came into play. And Schwinger and Feynman won the Nobel Prize for quantum electrodynamics in 1965. John Archibald Wheeler and Richard Feynman said, when you do the math from the quantum perspective on the energy of the universe, it's over 120 orders of magnitude higher than when we measure the cosmic microwave background. Why this discrepancy? Which one is correct? Is there no zero-point energy out there to be tapped into? Or is there a huge ocean of energy that can be tapped into? The difference between this question is the difference between whether or not negative energy exists or not. If you don't think negative energy exists because it's an exotic substance, then you're somebody that believes that the cosmic microwave background is the answer, that there's no energy to be tapped into. But if you're somebody that understands quantum mechanics, you realize that we're not talking about thermal energy. We're not talking about heat. We're talking about vibrational energy. The zero point energy, that ocean of energy, it's vibrating all the time on the tiniest possible scales. And that's how we interact with. That's why Tesla was saying that there's an ether of energy and that the answer to the universe is energy, frequency, and vibration. So what these people need to understand then is, well, what's the thing that we missed? Zero's not the bottom. Zero point energy is quite literally the energy that exists below zero, the energy below the ground state. So zero is not the bottom. That's not zero. It's just the ground state. It's just the equilibrium state. That's us on top of the ocean. We're on top of the ocean floating around. So what's negative energy? Oh, if we tap into that zero point energy, we pull it out. And what are those orbs doing in that video? This is why it's proof. This is why the zap in the video is absolute proof. The orbs are inducing a negative energy state through a low energy phase transition. The ground state of, imagine just a hydrogen atom. The ground state of the hydrogen atom is shrinking a little bit because they're shrinking the space. Like, you look at my screen right here. Let me see if I can make this work. They're shrinking the size of the space itself. And when you do this, everything comes together. Everything gets squished together. And when you do this, it changes the permittivity of the vacuum of that region of space-time, allows for negative energy to be possible because the ground state goes down for every atom that's there. And when that occurs, there's a release of energy. That release of energy is an ultraviolet light. This is why in the whammy video, the satellite video, you see a flash of light come. So we're like, oh, there's light. But when you look in the thermal, it's black. It's cold.
Oh, so it's, no, that's a great point.
Ultraviolet light. Go ahead.
So let's show that. So this is the one where we see
that's gravitational lensing right there. Go ahead.
Gravitate. So what are we seeing here? So there it disappears.
So that was the frame right beforehand. And then the frame right after this wormhole opens up. By the way, there's only four frames of this wormhole, and you can actually see it open and close. You can even see the tail of the plane in the first frame right there. Now, what you're seeing here is you're seeing space-time being contracted. And when it gets contracted, the refractive index, the permittivity of the vacuum, changes. And when that happens, what you see is this effect where the ground state of your atom, of your hydrogen atom, your orbs, goes down. And what this does is it's like a trampoline, like jumping on a little trampoline. It pulls a little bit of energy out. And it doesn't even have to be that much energy because those balls of plasma are 20 feet wide of condensed charge. They're extremely powerful magnets. So when you jam them together, the closer they get, that force goes up and it amplifies to a degree where then, boom, space-time itself breaks down. Space-time itself breaks down. And magnetic reconnection occurs when the orbs get too close because these magnetic fields, these orbs, is so powerful. Now, the last thing I want to say on the orbs for you to understand, which is helpful, is that these are orbs of coherent plasma, meaning that what's happening is the magnetic and electric fields the plasma is producing is what's being used to make it into a sphere. You would say, wait, what? It's actually itself is making the fields that keep it trapped? Yes. So what they figured out is they move the plasma around the right way. The fields will cause the plasma to become an orb that stays coherent in the sky that can float around. And that's called magnetohydrodynamics, MHD. You'll see the acronym all over the place. They're using controlled, powerful magnetic fields to move the plasma around, keep the charge separated, the positive and the negative, so that it acts like a lightning bolt. And then somebody at some point figured out, oh, let's just jam a few of these together. And then, boom, we can make things disappear. The last point I want to make is, well, you're saying it's teleportation. It could probably annihilate something as well. But for several reasons, including the phones ringing, the plane being seen later on, and all this weird dance the orbs are doing on the plane, I think it's actual teleportation. So what's happening is the orbs must have an equal number of charge between the four orbs. You've got three orbs around the plane, and you've got one orb somewhere else. So when this plane is being teleported, Delta, don't sue me, and then comes back, the orbs need to cancel out. So let's say you've got two of the orbs are positively charged and two are negatively charged. When they come together, they're going to equalize and they're going to dissipate. That could be one configuration. The other configuration could be that the three orbs next to the plane all add up to one negative charge. And then you have one positive charge, let's say at Diego Garcia or in the Maldives. And then when the orbs come together, it causes them to slingshot and come together, and then they appear at your new location. That's what these people have figured out. And it's crazy because it's so far beyond our current paradigm to think that not only could we have figured out gravity and have an actual working warp drive and wormhole technology, but to actually use it on an airplane that itself is not equipped. It's not like it's a Starship Enterprise. We used it on an airplane that was flying around in the sky. So this is like, you realize the implications of this right away, as I'm sure you've considered. You know, you could teleport a nuke onto somebody. This is technology that is obsoletes all prior forms of weaponry.
It's amazing to think, and you have this whole battle discussion over Iran and developing a nuclear weapon. And in many ways, the whole thing is moot because this technology is so far more advanced than all of that. I want you to stick around, Ashton, if you can, and we want to move we're going to do this whole Rumble Premium thing, and I want to kind of open it up for a lot of people to ask questions here if we can. But before we get there, and by the way, if you're watching us on YouTube, come on over to Rumble. We've got 30,000 of you watching us live on Rumble right now. All the tens of thousands of you over on YouTube, come on over to our Rumble Premium right now, because we're going to hang out with Ashton if we can. When we talk about time travel, and we talk about when you're moving into this wormhole, are we actually jumping through time the way that we think of time, I guess?
Yeah, I thought you might ask me that. It's funny because I spent last night trying to figure that out. And now I think I have a good answer, is that the wormhole itself, if you're traveling through it, there's no time that's passing, no matter where the opening and the closing is. And if you follow the principle of least action, this would mean that there's never going to be any passage of time while you're traveling through the wormhole. And if you then put one more restriction and say that the mouth of the wormhole cannot move, it can only be in one spot, as in it opens and closes and it's not there anymore. If you make those two restrictions, it's no longer possible to go back in time. Reverse causality is no longer possible, no matter how you look at it. You'll always, even if you go through a portal, go through a different portal, you'll never show up at a time before you started the process. So my opinion right now, having dug into the physics, is that there is no way for you to actually go back to a previous time in the universe. But You can actually travel in time. Time travel is 100% real. You can do two different things, which I think are extremely significant. You can travel to the future, number one. You can slow your rate of time so that everything else looks like it's speeding up around you to such a degree where you could go 100 years in the future. All of a sudden, it's 100 years in the future, and you're like, whoa, how did that happen? It would be extremely disorienting, but you could do it. The other thing you could do is you could reverse your biological process. You could put a bubble around yourself and reverse the entropy of inside the bubble, which is you and your age, and you could reverse your age. And before you ask me, would you remember that? I actually asked Navy engineer Salvatore Pais this question. His opinion is you would still remember, because his belief is your consciousness is stored in the zero point energy, not in your body is just a receiver, which, yeah, I tend to agree, but obviously speculative.
It's unbelievable. Time travel is real. And I know I've always wanted to talk to you more deeply about this, and we will. Ashton, thank you so much.